You know, it's kind of an American thing. Thursday, it's a decadent feast where we're supposed to be thankful, Thanksgiving. Then Friday, an even more decadent display of buying and consumption called Black Friday, that orgy of deals and buying that continued through the weekend, launches the Christmas shopping season, topped off with a sort of mini frenzy of buying online. Monday for holiday shoppers who can't stand another mall parking lot. That's Cyber Monday, right? Only then do we have time for Giving Tuesday. That was yesterday. Do we have things in the right order here, morally, rationally? Maybe this little sequence depicts exactly what's wrong with the way we think about charitable giving in the United States. Peter Singer, bioethics professor at Princeton University, has thought a lot about this. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
I'm wondering if it's a bit of a meta comment on a lot of what you've talked and written about, that, you know, the Giving Tuesday comes after everything else, the feast, the buying, the consumption. It's a bit of a, you know, pecking order that maybe underscores what's wrong rather than what's right.
I think the excessive consumption is one of the things that's wrong, and maybe people are expiating that. They realize that they've spent too much on things that they don't really need, and now it's time to do some good. But, you know, I don't want to give the impression that I think we should all be just dressed in sackcloth and, you know, secular saints walking around spending nothing on anything else except doing good. I think you have to be a bit more realistic than that. People are going to want to have fun. But the point is that, you know, most Americans are affluent enough to have fun and still have money to spare for those who are in much greater need than they are.
And again, I think we make the mistake in America, and maybe it's just me, and we've had arguments before in the past, but, you know, thinking about it as a pendulum swinging one way and the other way, as a binary, on the one side there's consumption, on the other side there's charitable giving. I mean, in fact, what you argue is that we need to be more strategic about all of this, that it needs to be incorporated into our lives in a much more integrated way than we experience it typically.
That's right. I think that if we want to think of ourselves as ethical people, and if we're, let's say, comfortably middle class or above in an affluent country like the United States, we ought to be giving to those in much greater need, particularly those in extreme poverty elsewhere in the world, as part of our, you know, our regular things that we do. It should be something that we do every year that we put aside, or perhaps every month that we take off on our credit card. That should be something that we see as part of our responsibility. That is something that makes us an ethical person, to recognize that we're fortunate and that others are so much less fortunate, and that we can make a big difference to their lives.
When you teach students at Princeton in your course on charitable giving, what assumptions do they come to the class with, and how do you either explore or modify those over the course of teaching?
I think people come with the whole range of assumptions that Americans, and for that matter, the international students at Princeton, come with. And mostly that is that essentially what we're doing in our lives is okay, that most people are generally living good lives, and they probably think that they themselves are doing the right thing, that they're not cheating or stealing or attacking other people, those sorts of things, and that that's enough to be an ethical person. And I try to get them to see that given where they are in the world and given where the rest of the world is, that's not enough, that they're in a very privileged position, and that if they want to live ethical lives, there are things that go beyond conventional morality that they ought to be doing.
And in many ways, America's freedom idea and individualism idea teaches a lesson of stay out of other people's way, don't bog them down in any way, and you can be comfortable to be as wealthy and successful as you want. I'm wondering if the ethics that you're talking about really involves a sense of constant giving and sacrifice, a consciousness that you are giving because you have, period, and it doesn't have to be based on any specific outcome.
No, I'm not trying to do that. Firstly, I don't think that giving really has to be a sacrifice. On the contrary, I think it's something fulfilling and rewarding in people's lives. And I think if you do give, you know, something, even something quite significant, let's say if you're giving 10% of your income, if you're a middle-class American, I don't think the things that you're giving up some of the consumer goods, which, as we mentioned, people might have bought in the last week or so, I don't think that they are anywhere nearly as important as the sense that you are doing something that helps others, that you're joining with others to try to make the world a better place. So I don't think of that as a sacrifice. And secondly, I'm much more concerned about the results than I am about, the fact that you are virtuous. I'm not so really interested in getting people to be more virtuous as people. I'm really more interested in getting people in extreme poverty who don't have enough to eat or can't get basic health care or have to watch their child die from some easily treatable disease like diarrhea or pneumonia. I'm interested in trying to get that situation changed.
So you would object on philosophical grounds, it seems to me, to the United Way approach, where you sort of give with confidence that they're going to work out all the details of the outcomes. You want people more engaged in the specific outcomes when they give. Is that true?
That is true, and that's one of the things we do in our class. We give people choices between different projects, and we have real money. We have donors who've donated enough so that each group of a dozen students, each discussion section, can donate $100 to a charity. And we give them information about different charities, and we found that they are giving to organizations that are helping the global poor. When they look at the facts of the situation, they don't just want to give to some generic thing. They really want to make sure that they get the biggest bang for their buck. And the evidence suggests that you do that by giving to effective charities that are helping the global poor.
Who wouldn't you give to this time of year based on your set of principles?
Well, just for example, if a lot of people give because they say somebody they love died of breast cancer, and so they give to breast cancer research. And I can understand that sort of personal attraction, but 90% of the global burden of diseases, the diseases that kill most of the people or make most of the people sick, actually only get about 10% of the research funding in the world. And that's because the people can't afford new treatments or their diseases like, as I said, diarrhea or pneumonia, malaria, measles, that we already know how to treat. And so we can, we can treat far more people for the good that money will do if you give it to something like cancer research in general. It can save many more people if it's given to one of these organizations, to organizations that are involved in deworming, for example. Mm-hmm. We have a list of recommended organizations on my website called thelifeyoucansave.org, and we're recommending organizations that are doing things in developing countries to help a range of conditions which can be treated much more cheaply than cancer in America.
Well, it's all called effective altruism. Peter Singer, bioethics professor at Princeton University and author of The Life You Can Save, Acting Now to End World Poverty. Thanks so much.
Thanks. It's been good to be with you.
Beyond the question of to give or not to give, how to give, you've been talking about this.
Hi, this is Karen from Essex, Mass. And we like to support local charities, a food pantry where our kids can actually help serve food and be part of it. And it just makes it all a little more real, especially for kids.
A level of engagement that Peter Singer certainly would admire. Katie from Little Rock echoes this.
Throughout the year, I volunteer with charities. That way I get to see how the organization meets their mission and see firsthand how contributions are used.
We want you to be a part of this conversation, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or go to thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.